Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Our next guest, Brian Capel. He is an illustrator. He is an artist. He is a creative, probably the most creative person that I know. He is in studio with me today. Thank you for coming by.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Let's talk about Space Monkey Designs, because that's your company, but you have been involved with the college football playoff. You've been involved with a lot of fan fests, and you do a lot of stuff that, a lot of creative stuff that people probably don't even know that you do. Let's start with how you got into this. Like, as a kid, were you that artistic kid that was always kind of dabbling, or what is that?
Yeah, I was the one who had no social life and was always drawing. I was always the one who was doodling in classes and stuff like that, would take notes half the time and be drawing in the margins the rest of the time. So
for teachers out there, don't be mad at that kid.
No, because I found it easier for me to process information coming in by drawing in the margins.
Yeah. And you have made a livelihood and a successful career out of this. You're working with the college football playoff. What do you do for them? Because I know they're in Indianapolis next year. Is that right?
Indianapolis, yep. So it'll be an interesting one, because I think, every year it's been Southern, or in an environment that is more conducive to having people outdoors. Although I think every year the weather's been fairly bad for all of them. But Indianapolis will be in January, so it'll be an interesting event. And so what I'm working on is basically the college football playoff has their VIP party. That's kind of like the pregame event for all the athletic directors and college dignitaries, as it were. And it's kind of for them to kind of come in, hang out with Bill Hancock. Beforehand.
Yeah, it's probably like where all the money's buried.
Yeah,
in the
that's
event.
Pretty much it. Yeah, yeah. It's all the people that sit in the seats that the rest of us never get to sit in.
So you go out and you have to scout, because I know you got on a plane to go to Indy, and then in this last one you got on a plane to go to Florida during the pandemic because everything's changed so much. Are you just looking at the space and then trying to?
Yeah. So what it is that we're trying to kind of create a pregame kind of experience for those kinds of VIPs to kind of come in and do something beforehand, walk away with something. So, Miami was an interesting one because, again, in the pandemic, we fly down there, we're in the stadium, we kind of come up with this idea, the theme, the look, the graphics, the experiences, everything that was going to go on. And then I think it was December, we actually got hit that it was that they kicked us out of the stadium. So we went from being in the stadium, and the Dolphins basically said, yeah, we're not having any parties in the stadium. You're now outside, just right across the street. So we had to kind of last minute go down and just kind of burn it to the ground and be like, okay, what are we doing here?
Start over.
Yeah, start over quick.
And how did that go? I mean,
it went well. It was, we worked with a couple of key partners, and there was, Miami is a great market for really good vendors. And so we had kind of the infrastructure built where we were able to kind of take the initial ideas and amend them on the fly to kind of have something that was going to be super dynamic. And it ended up working out really well.
We're talking to Brian Capel. Space Monkey Designs is his company. He is a creative. He has worked with a variety of fan fests, including the college football playoff, as you just heard. Do you do design for Nike, Adidas? Can you talk about that? Or is it a state secret or something?
No. If it is, I'm going to find out real quick. I being a freelance designer right now, I kind of cut my teeth in sports marketing, because I was actually a sports marketing rep while I was at Penn State in college. Came out and then got into apparel graphics, and so did apparel graphic design for Major League Baseball and college football at Nike, and then left and kind of jumped into the agency world here in Portland, which is a pretty crazy market. But working everything from retail design to events to customization to a little bit of everything in between. And I still do a lot of freelance design for Adidas and for Nike in just kind of more like gun for hire type roles.
And so, like, we all put on events. Like, we just had a graduation party for a high school senior. What is the one thing you could teach the rest of us about the visuals on an event? Like, basic, when you walk in the room, what is it that people want to see?
It's funny. I relate everything to garage sales and signage for garage sales.
Okay.
Because if you sign a garage sale well, you will sell everything. You'll sell the card tables at the end of the day, because if you have people constantly coming through, you're good to go. I mean, honestly, it's like with any other event. I think that having that kind of moment that everybody kind of gets to take their picture in front of, or having those things that become memorable, that are almost like a organic kind of gravitation point where people kind of, you know, jump over to it. I think Walt Disney used to call them visual magnets. I think having those kinds of pieces and parts become huge in having it be something that people look back on and go, oh, you remember that? That was great. You know, that's what I always kind of shoot for.
Brian Capel, our guest, Space Monkey Designs is his company. You can follow him all over the internet and find his. You probably know his work. You just don't know that it is his work. You're also working with Worlds of Sport. People can go to worldsofsport.com for a sports-themed convention-themed thing that's happening in January 2022 at the Oregon Convention Center. What's your vision for Worlds of Sport?
I think it's going to be, ideally, energy-wise, I think it's centric around the fan experience. It's instead of it being more predicated by going in and having it be like a fan fest for a specific team, for a specific sport, it's for all sports, and it's really kind of aimed at the fans and that passion that is the fans. And I think it's kind of celebrating all of that, because we as a community, I think the one piece of common ground that we all share is the love of our team, the love of the sports, and we can all kind of relate to each other on that. And so I think that's a great platform to kind of build up from, especially, you know, coming out of the last year that we've had.
Amen. And I think, you know, we're starving for events and starving to get back to things. Oregon State, Washington State will be involved. Columbia Sportswear and some others will be involved. I think it'll be a really cool event. I'm excited to be there. When you walk into that event, because there'll be gaming there, and people can go to worldsofsport.com if you want to see more, where will Brian Capel gravitate?
I'm going to be heading more towards probably the sports card show, because that's something that I've done ever since I was a kid. And I think that that's a market that during the pandemic really kind of blew up in new and exciting ways that I don't think have quite caught up in the normal sports card show. And we really don't have anything here in the Pacific Northwest that kind of, you know, rivals the national shows that they have back east. And so I think that having that with the energy of the event around it, I think is going to really be a kind of a special moment.
What do you think's happened to sports memorabilia in the pandemic? It seems to have exploded.
I think it's something that investment in stocks and things like that is something that's not super relatable. And again, going back to that kind of passion of the fans, I think that it becomes very accessible and something that you can track in real time by simply just watching the sports that you already are watching. And so I think that being able to kind of grab a little bit of that and see your favorite players doing well and then being able to kind of own a piece of their success, I think became something that you know, with call it extra money kind of laying around or just extra time to kind of research it, I think people really kind of jumped on that.
Let's say there's a fire, God forbid, knock on wood, in the Capel household. You got to grab one card on your way out. What are you grabbing? What's your prized card?
Well, see, now this is the thing. I've been smart enough during the pandemic to find a fireproof, waterproof case that I have many cards in.
Okay.
So I grab that case before the dog.
All right,
for sure.
Who's the baby in that case?
It's tough to say because there's story, and you know how it is. I mean,
come on, they're not going to think bad of you if you say, you know, one card over the other. These aren't children.
Right. I mean, there's the selfish side of me that goes, well, I got to grab my Dave Winfield rookie card because he was kind of my favorite growing up. But then there's the other side of me that's like, you got to grab the big dollar card. So be it the Babe Ruths or the Jackie Robinsons or stuff like that. But, you know, my wife is always eyeing when I walk out the door if she's going to be able to grab it and sell it.
Right. So. Yeah, you got to double check that when you get home.
Yeah.
Brian Capel, Space Monkey Designs. He works with the College Football Playoff, other events. Now, look, I drive down the freeway, and what drives me crazy is billboards that have bad punctuation. What drives a designer crazy?
Seeing default fonts used in logos and graphics, or just like misuse. I mean, just poorly done negative space. I mean, it's odd. The eye of designers kind of goes in seven different ways, and people have their little things that just kind of drive them crazy. And I know that there, a lot of people that are kind of more in the graphic design disciplines, kerning, like people, just the spaces between letters and stuff like that. My thing is usually just like messaging. Like I find myself, I've got this, I call it my book, but it's the thing that I basically kind of kept track of all of my experiences through the agency world and everything like that. And one of my favorite things is what you say when you're not saying anything.
Ooh.
And all of those things that you know, brands will kind of put up there, and it's totally counterintuitive to their messaging. They're just kind of like, wait a minute, so what you're saying is that, or the hypocrisy in design, stuff like that. Those are the things that kind of catch my eye that I'm just like, wait a minute.
I always think about that, because I think anybody who, and for listeners out there, it's whatever you're an expert in, it's that thing you notice. And even in when we watch movies and TV, Anna and I will look at the way media are portrayed, and we'd go, there'd never be a news conference on the steps of the courthouse. There would not. That's not the questions they would ask. The reporter's camera's not always on, like, as they're running up to the scene. Like, right. They're just little nuances that jump out at you. Brian Capel is our guest. All right, for young people out there that are listening who want to get into design, what do you tell them?
Hustle. Never stop hustling. I think that's the thing, is in a world that you know, you've got software, and I saw an ad for it the other day that it's like, graphic designers hate this app. I think that there's so many things that have been almost like dummied down to a certain point where it's like, it's accessible. There's a craft to being a designer, just like there's a craft to being a photographer, just like there's a craft to being in media. There's work that has to be put into it. You don't just fall into it and you know, be good at it. It's like anybody can catch lightning in a bottle one time, but it's like, to keep it sustained, you really have to own the craft and work at it. It's things will not be delivered to you. You have to chase them down.
Look, I admire the creativity. I admire the ambition. Worldsofsport.com. If you want to check out the sports fan-centric experience that's coming to Portland in January 2022, never seen anything like it. Brian Capel, thank you for being here. I appreciate your passion and your vision.
Thank you, and looking forward to 22 here.
Leave it right here. You got the BFT statewide. Been a big week, been a joyful week for sports fans. I think it's really interesting. We're seeing 80% capacity, Timbers and Thorns. I think that is a really good omen that is pointing towards the fall in college football. But I'll ask Jim Edsall, the CEO of Sport Oregon, in hour number three today. He's coming up right around 2:15. I'll ask Jim Edsall what he thinks about the fall. He is the CEO of Sport Oregon. Are we going to have full college football seasons in the fall? Oregon and Oregon State tell me that they are hoping to. They use that terminology. I've noticed that all along in the last year. They're hoping to have students on campus. They're hoping to have students in person. They're hoping to have fans inside the stadium. We're hoping to have full stadium. That just means, hey, we really want that, and we're optimistic about it. But what about Jim Edsall, CEO, Sport Oregon? He's got his finger on the pulse. He's the liaison between the sports entities in our state and government in our state. Edsall coming up 2:15. Be here. Also, by the way, that 2 o'clock hour today, if you listen to no other BFT radio for the rest of your life, make sure you hear the 2 o'clock hour today. I think especially the last 30 minutes of the show are powerful. I think especially as you look at for like a Friday, I like to laugh. I like to have fun. I like the show to be lighter. I think the show is lighter in the 2 o'clock hour today. I think it's set up that way, as long as I don't screw it up. That brings us, of course, to the big splash. It is the one thing that you need to know today.
This is the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the big splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Well, Ryan Krauser, who went to high school in Gresham at Barlow High School, got his preliminary throws this morning in the men's shot put at Hayward Field, where the Olympic trials are on. Now, Krauser is the favorite. Friend of this show, he's been on this show a couple times. Krauser just stepped up and threw in the Olympic trials a couple of monster throws, one of them more than 74 feet, the other more than 75 feet. He opted not to take the third of his three preliminary throws per Ken Go of the Oregonian, who's covering it. He has the two longest throws in the competition by more than 3 feet. The final of the event takes place tonight at the Mecca of track and field in the state of Oregon, right there at Hayward Field. Terrific job that they have done in constructing what is a world-class track and field
venue. I don't care what people say about nostalgia and history. I'm big on nostalgia and history. Don't get me wrong. But anytime that you can have the best track and field venue in the country, we ought to celebrate that. Ryan Crouser, though, the best of the best in the shot put. Through the preliminary rounds, he's got the best throws. He is on pace to qualify for another Olympics. He's on pace to be the favorite in the Olympic shot put. That Crouser family, they just throw things for a living. That's all they do. And the Crousers are poised to come out of this Olympic trials with at least one Olympic hopeful. Ryan Crouser throwing the shot put so far that nobody's been within 3 feet of him in the preliminary throws. He'll get the finals tonight. He's expected to advance, and the Olympic trials are on. It's our big splash, and we do it every day on the show. I love that. We've had him on this show. I had him in person in studio. I did a little event out at Barlow High School where I emceed the event. Crouser was out there throwing things around, and it was just remarkable to me. And I'll never forget, you know, you got the Crouser family, and you got Haley Crouser, who threw javelin first at Oregon and then later, I believe, at Texas. And you got Ryan Crouser, and you got Sam Crouser, and it's like discus, javelin, shot put. They're just throwing things. I remember when Ryan Crouser came on the show, I had my high school senior in the studio with me, and I'll never forget it. You know, Crouser came on the show. His dad was with him. His dad took one look at my daughter, who's long. She's got long arms, long legs, okay, volleyball player. And he said, I'll be back. And he disappeared. And I interviewed Ryan Crouser, went about my business, nothing. I didn't know where dad went. Dad came back, and dad was holding a javelin when he came back and handed it to me and said, have your daughter throw this javelin. Now, I took the javelin home, and he didn't just hand the javelin and say, go have her throw. He handed it and said, look, here's the bottom line. There are 50 states in the United States of America that have colleges that give scholarships to people who throw the javelin. And he said, there are only 17 states that have high schools who throw the javelin. It's simple math. If you can throw the javelin well in one of those 17 states, you are bound to be eligible for a scholarship in one of those other 33 states that does not throw the javelin. Like, it is basically it's a funnel, but it's a reverse funnel. And if you have an opportunity to throw the javelin and you can do it at a decent level in high school here in the state of Oregon, you're pretty attractive to other colleges. So the Crouser family gets it. My kid was not interested in throwing a spear, but it was interesting. I still have that javelin. I should probably give it back. And I looked at it the other day and I noticed something for the first time that I had not noticed before. Because when he handed me the javelin, my kid was like 12. She's now 18 and headed off to college, not on a javelin scholarship, unfortunately. And so I looked at the side of the javelin and I noticed something on it. Etched on the side of the javelin in Sharpie is the name of the original owner of that javelin. And in little letters, little black letters on the side, handwriting of probably a 12 or 13-year-old kid, that person who threw that javelin wrote their name. And the name on the side of that javelin is Haley Crouser. See, Ryan Crouser's dad went home, brought back Haley's javelin to give to my kid. I feel like I should pass that back to them. But that's a story for another day. As Ryan Crouser advancing to the preliminaries, from the preliminaries into the finals at the Olympic trials. There's nothing like the Olympics. I got to tell you, people say, what stadium is your favorite stadium? Or what's the best sporting event you've ever been to? By far, for me, it's an Olympic Games. It's not close. Summer Games in particular. I'm not as fond as the winter sport. There's logistics in a winter Olympics and getting around to the mountain and other things. Like, yeah, it's just not for me. It's like camping. But in a summer Olympics, you're literally watching the Ryan Crousers of the world, who are the best in their specific skill or sport, doing what they are born to do. And you're watching the lifetime culmination come together in a moment that is like powerful. Like, can you imagine watching like the world's greatest scientist who had trained all their life in this final moment where they're going to put all of their expertise together and everything that they know in one place on display for the world? That's what we're getting. That's what we're getting at the Olympics every year. It's Usain Bolt in the 100. It's Michael Phelps in the pool. It's Ryan Crouser throwing a shot put. I think it's just a beautiful thing if you ever get a chance to go see an Olympic Games in person. I don't care what event you go to wrestling, go to diving, go to swimming. I don't care. Just be there and pay attention. It's beautiful. Leave it here. 1 o'clock hours ahead. We're going to talk to a bodybuilder who's on a mission. Coming up.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.